You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
I'm going to pray for us. Lord, thanks for your goodness, your loving kindness, and thank you for today. Thank you for the children you've given us, and thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit and your word. I pray you bless this time that would be encouraging and life-giving. We might have the hope, peace, and joy of Christ, that we might relate to others out of the love of God the Father through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so here's what we're doing today. This is a two-week series. I'll tell you, why don't I just give you all a whole tour of what's ahead, a little preview. By the way, guess, how long are previews at a movie, average length of previews?
Almost 30 minutes.
22 minutes on average. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So with that being said, preview. So this week, and then 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be doing an overview of what we're doing in children's ministry this year, an overview of the whole curriculum. And then on Labor Day weekend, I'm going to do basically just an overview of our whole philosophy of ministry for children, youth, and family at our church. And then we will start a series on Rally Day called Anchors for Stable, Sane Parenting. Anchors for a stable, sane parenting. And it's just going to be basically, I thought about, like, what are like the five or six truths that are like, that I find to be most stabilizing when it comes to being a parent, that keep you from freaking out and, you know, going bonkers, losing your mind. And so we're going to do that for about 6 weeks. And so that's what's ahead. And so, today, men's discipleship groups. I've got two spots left. Hot ticket on the secondary market. Thursday 8:15 group, two spots left if interested. So just FYI, text me or call me or email me if you're interested. Okay, so here's the deal. So with children's ministry, or when we think about ministry for kids at our church as a whole, we think in four categories. We think in terms of first, biblical literacy. We want kids to know the Bible. Second, we think about theology, God's truth that flows out of Scripture. And then third is what we call Christian practice, like the practices that foster relationship with God, prayer, reading your Bible, going to church, sacraments, tithing, those kind of things. And then finally, Christian life, like how is it that God's Word, God's truth, and Christian practice, how does that translate into living an ethical, moral life where we are people who care about those who are lost and weak and oppressed and poor. And so that's Christian life. And so with that being said, what we're going to focus on over the next 2 weeks is the Bible part of what we're doing in children's ministry. All right, I'm just going to say this. This is going to sound braggadocious, but it doesn't have anything to do with me. So I will say if for some reason this week I got my jump shot back, I grew 5 inches, the vertical leap went from like 4 to 45, and I got a contract in the NBA, and I no longer worked at the Church of the Advent, I was going to be a wing forward for someone, I would still want to go to church here, and a big part of that is because I would want my kids in the children's ministry here. I think the way that we do children's ministry, I don't know anybody who does it better than the way we do it. That's just my, and that doesn't have anything to do with me because I'm not the children's minister. That's Tara and Gunner. But I think this is the way that every church should do children's ministry. Just a personal opinion, objectively as possible. All right, so here's what we do with kids when they go from 3K all the way to fifth grade on the Bible part. What we do is we go from Genesis to Revelation every year. So kids go through the whole Bible, the narrative arc of the Bible. Obviously, we don't study every word of it. We don't do every chapter. But we do the narrative arc of the Bible every single year. But what we do is we focus on one major theme in the Bible for the whole year. So 2 years ago, it was the kingdom of God. Last year, it was the covenants. This year, it is God with us. And that's what we're going to focus on over the next 2 weeks, is this theme of God with us throughout the whole Bible. Point of the class is so that you have a little bit of a framework, you have a little bit of a concept of what we're studying, so that when your child comes home, you kind of have a little bit of you have some grounding on like what they're talking about and how to respond to it. But here's the thing. What our overall goal is for our kids, when they finish at our church, to feel confident and competent to read any part of the Bible. They can open up any book of the Bible, they can read it, and they feel basically confident and competent to read it. And it's something that's edifying for them. And so the path of that is first in the nursery, we do the Hug a Bible. The Hug a Bible is, you know, basically this little Bible that's furry and stuffy, and they pass it around every week. And all we're gunning for in the nursery is for kids to know that there is a book called the Bible that's about God. That's it. That's kind of developmentally, that's an achievement if you can do that coming out of the nursery. All right. So then in elementary school, 3K through sixth grade-ish, the goal is to get basic biblical literacy. It's funny. I think y'all have probably heard me tell this story 1,000 times, but when I first started in family ministry in 2014, when I was moving in that direction, I went up to Redeemer Presbyterian in New York, like the flagship church of the United States, Tim Keller's church, met with Brent Bounds. He's the family minister and still a really dear friend. And I was like, all right, like, tell me, give me the playbook, you know, like, what do you do with children's ministry? I was just trying to learn here. And I was waiting for this like really sophisticated, complicated, you know, philosophy of ministry and all this kind of stuff. He goes, children's ministry, Bible stories. So that's it, Bible stories. Bible stories and catechism. And I was like, come on, give me more here, dog. Like, you got a PhD, you know, you got a seminary degree, like you're in New York City, you gotta be more sophisticated than this. He goes, nope, Bible stories. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, kids, What you're gunning for is for kids to feel, to be able to read the Bible, to feel, you know, confident in their ability to handle the Word as adults. And like, you can't do that unless you have concrete foundations of just knowing the people, the places, the things, the items, the stories. And so, so that being said, that's what we do. And so the way we approach that in elementary school is, knowing the narrative arc of the Bible. You know, what I mean by that is like, what is the basic storyline as you go from Genesis to Exodus to the books of history to the prophets, like all the way into the New Testament, so on and so forth. What is the basic story? Knowing that opens up the Bible to you. The biggest impediment to people feeling comfortable reading a book of the Bible is that they don't know the storyline. Churches tend to do a pretty bad job of teaching the storyline, such that, you know, you open up Jeremiah, you're kind of like, what? I have no, like, it does. If you don't know what's going on in the bigger story of the Bible, you're not going to be able to read Jeremiah because it's dependent upon knowing the context, like the context in the whole story. And so, so with that being said, that's why every single year we go Genesis to Revelation so that your child has this reinforcement of knowing the whole narrative arc. They'll have gone through it 9 times by the time they're in middle school. That's good. We can play winning football with that. We're going to be bowl eligible. So then the second thing in that is we don't do this. A lot of the same stories will pop up multiple times, but we're going to hit, different stories along the way. So your child is getting lots of exposure, but always getting that exposure within the context of the bigger story. And then the last thing is, like, when you read the Bible, it is extremely helpful to have what you'd call hermeneutic lenses. And these are just basically knowing what are the big themes that run from beginning to end of Scripture. Because there, you know, you can read, when you read Jeremiah 34, you can see, like, oh, this is all steeped in the covenants. That's what's going on here. Or when you read some of the minor prophets, you're like, wow, this has a real law gospel feel to it. Or when you're looking at, the David and the kings of Israel, and you're reading about the kingdom of God and the gospels, that has, hello, Mary's well, so good to see you. Grab yourself a couple of sheets here. When you're going through those, knowing about the kingdom of God, very, very helpful. So basically, knowing the narrative arc, knowing the people, places, items, and stories plus knowing some of the big concepts in Scripture are going to help children be feel confident and competent to open up and read any part of the Bible. And so then when they get to middle school, what we do from middle school through high school is we study individual books of the Bible from beginning to end, word to word. So in middle school, we'll do all of Romans, all of Mark, Survey of Genesis, Survey of Exodus. So we'll do that in middle school. And then in high school, we'll do a year of prophets. So we'll do Daniel and Jonah and Malachi and Haggai and Messianic prophecies. And then we'll do a year of Paul, where we'll do Colossians, Galatians, Philippians, 1 Thessalonians. We'll do a year of the Gospel of John. And then in the summers, we rotate and we'll do a survey of 1 and 2 Kings. They'll do over 50 Psalms over the course of their time. They'll do a survey of Proverbs. They will study 1 Peter, 1 John, James, Survey of Revelation. So all that being said, they're going to get a ton. Like, if your kid just goes to small group in Sunday school, your kid is going to be amazingly biblically literate by the time they finish. And so that's kind of the big plan in terms of what we do with the Bible. So with that being said, the theme for this year is God with us. That's the theme that we're going to focus on from Genesis to Revelation in children's Sunday school. And it's just so encouraging. It's so encouraging. Think about this. When your baby is or was in the crib crying, and they're distraught and screaming and flailing and all this, it's the middle of the night, you walk through the door. What is the first thing you say when you walk through the door to the child? It's okay. It's okay. Mommy's here. It's okay. Daddy's here. Instinctively, the first reassurance that you give to the child is, you're not alone. I am with you, right? That we just kind of know. That's instinctively the thing we think that our child needs to be stabilized and to feel comforted and to feel okay, is, you're not alone. Mommy is with you. Daddy is with you, right? When your child is going off to school, or they're going to camp, they're going to a situation where they feel, where they're nervous and afraid, generally, like, if there's a spiritual assurance we tend to give our kids, we tend to say, like, hey, God's going to be with you. And I'll go over this again, but we call it the 10 fingers. God is always with me. I am never, ever alone. All right? So that's a good one. That's a good one, you know, just to kind of reinforce over and over again. And so with that being said, this notion that God is with us, it hits to the very core of the comfort that we need. And so I have like chills talking about, that's what we're going to be reinforcing over and over and over again every single Sunday for the whole year. And so I'm going to look at kind of this briefly at the kind of theme of God with us in the Bible. I'm going to try to give a very, very cursory overview of how we see it in the Old Testament today. And then I'll do New Testament in 2 weeks. But here's what you see is, when you look at the bookends of the Bible, the very beginning and the very end, as you see at the very beginning, Adam and Eve are in the garden, and that God is with them. And you can see here on page 1 at the beginning, it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So you can see that God, when God creates man, he is so close, the nature of the relationship is so intimate, that it is like mouth to mouth, a mouth to mouth breathing of life into mankind. And so you can see that's how with Adam God is at the beginning, that God is breathing life into his nostrils, into his mouth, like he's doing CPR. That is very, very intimate. And you can also see in Genesis 3, it says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Now, obviously, the hiding part, not good. But God was with them in the garden to the extent that they could hear him walking as a person in the garden with them. Right? And so that's how the Bible begins. That is, you know, that is the original intent, is that we are meant to be with God in an intimate relationship, but to be in His presence as a person. So then there's sin, and, you know, sin breaks the relationship. It breaks the relationship between us and God. It creates friction and brokenness in relationships between us and man, between us and ourselves and the created world. And Adam and Eve, and this sounds like pure condemnation, but there's a ton of mercy in it. When God, you know, banishes them from the Garden of Eden, you know, it's a self-protection, because if they were to eat from the tree of life, they would never die. They would have to live in the fallen earth. So it's a mercy that God removes them from the garden. And at the same time, like, they are removed from the garden where they lived perfectly in the presence of God. And so what you see is, that the work of God throughout Scripture, you know, in His grace, in the person of Jesus, is to reconcile mankind into relationship with the Lord, but and also for the presence of God to come to us. The presence of God comes to us in the incarnation of Jesus. The presence of God comes to us in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But ultimately, when we look at the end, let's look at Revelation 21 and 22. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem," key to know, "coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God.'" So you can see the beginning and the end tell us so much, right? All of everything in Scripture, everything in terms of God's work, everything in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus is leading toward God's purpose, that to dwell with mankind, and in a manner where we see God face to face. We see God face to face. We live in perfect communion with Him. That's the end of the story. And so what you see is you're going to see, I don't know if I use the word progression. Progression evidences, I'm not sure what would be the best word, but you're going to see this theme of God with us as the Lord, you know, brings Himself to His people and brings some people, His people to Himself throughout all of Scripture. And it's, you know, it's always what they talk about, seven habits of highly effective people begin with the end in mind. So the end, at the end of the story is being with God, and that very much informs, like, our purpose, to be with Him day in, day out, in relationship with Him through the Holy Spirit and in Christ. And so with that being said, looking at, let's see here. And by the way, one other thing. When you look at, this is getting a little bit of a deep dive here, but when you look at Revelation 21 and 22, a lot of the details that describe the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, new earth, in Revelation 21:22, they are echoes of details from the Garden of Eden. It talks about a river that runs through the new heaven, the new earth, and there's a river in the Garden of Eden.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.